off the subject now, off the track we've been going on lately. We're going to rightly divide, look at something. We're going to look at mysteries. Just mysteries. I forgot where it came up this week in an email or a conversation with somebody, and I said, well, you know, let's look at these mysteries a little bit here. So, probably do some, half of them this morning, half of them tonight. We've done it before generally, I think a long time ago. But I see some things. Remember I said that there is one mystery that Paul has explained. Well, there's two. And that's what made me kind of want to get into this thing a little bit here. Matthew chapter 13. In the Old Testament, there are no mysteries. The word is not in there. It doesn't come up. I didn't find it unless I clicked. I always get nervous when nothing pops up because I figure maybe I typed in something wrong in the concordance or whatever. But there's nothing in the Old Testament that talks about mysteries or mystery. And in the Gospels, there's only two, and they're given to the disciples, and they're given to the disciples to know, but not to the rest of the Jews. Matthew 13:11. He answered and said unto them. I mean, he answered. What was the question? Look at verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Well, he says, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. Okay, so there's a mystery of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of, what is the kingdom of heaven? Now look at Luke chapter 8. Keep your fingers in Matthew, but look at Luke chapter 8. We see in verse 10, they're pretty much the same thing as said. They asked the same question based on the previous story before that. Verse 9, his disciples ask him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. Isn't that a strange thing? I mean, we got, in Matthew it says kingdom of heaven, and in Mark it says kingdom of God. And the disciples were given those so they would know them. But the rest of the Jews weren't. Why is that? Let's go back to Matthew 13. Look at verse 15. And then we'll go back a couple of verses. He says, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Isn't that, it's an interesting thing to see when God sees that you're not interested, He's not going to try to get you interested. That's what I've learned. If you don't want something, if you don't want to learn something, God isn't going to go out of His way to make you learn it. He's going to let you not hear it. So here are these people. Their heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they've closed. So instead of trying to talk to these people and get them to see it, He talks to the disciples. He gives the disciples this teaching, this understanding, and they learn those things. Pretty much leave it up to those guys to try to show these people what it is. What do we have? We have a King James Bible. Rightly divide that thing. And you realize that when you try to tell somebody who's never heard this before, doesn't have any problems with anything that's going on, they don't want to hear what you have to say about Paul. They don't want to hear about rightly dividing. They don't want to hear about the King James Bible. You know what God does about that? Nothing. I gave them King James Bible. I showed them how to rightly divide within that King James Bible. Within that King James Bible, it tells them to follow Paul, study from Paul. It tells about the risen Christ. I told them where I met with Paul face to face. It tells them all this stuff. If they don't want to get it, it is their choice. Doesn't make anybody do that. Same thing here. Now look at verse 16. But blessed are your eyes to the disciples, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. In fact, he says, for verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Now look at verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. So, Therefore I speak to them in parables. Because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand, so then he won't give it to them. Isn't that amazing? I mean, this is Jesus that everybody thinks is just this loving Jesus out there taught in these things today. He says, listen, if they don't want to hear what I have to say, I'm not going to go out of my way to tell them either. They reject me, I'll reject them. It's their choice, not mine. They're making the choice. Now, Pharaoh. Everybody says, well, see, God made Pharaoh do that. No, you dig into the Scriptures close enough, you will see where he says, no, Pharaoh made the call first. He rejected me. I'm going to use that rejection with his people. So, the mystery of the kingdom of heaven and the mystery of the kingdom of God was given to the disciples and not to the people, because the people didn't want it. Why isn't God telling this country what's going on? Well, he is. But they don't want to hear it. You try to tell them. They don't want to hear it. You show them something. We got 15,000 million little things popping across the internet now that's explaining what's going on. Who's good and who's bad? Who's right and who's wrong? People just go, I don't want to hear it. Right here. And they don't want to hear it. And God's not going to do anything about it. I gave them a Bible. I gave them my only begotten Son. I paid for the law. I'll wipe the law out. I'll solve this thing and you personalize it in a second. But you got to trust me. That's what he says. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I've got working on a message about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, so we'll save all that talk till later. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we know this. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. We know that these mysteries are important. Let a man so account of us, he says, as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, that doesn't mean we need to know them, understand them, and explain them to people. I see you've heard me say that. We've all talked about that. But we still have to be a steward of them. We still have to maintain them. We have to take care of them. They exist. I can't explain them to you. The Bible doesn't really explain them to us that well, but it is in here. But we have to be a steward. So here are these guys, Paul and these people, and they say, listen, we need to keep track of these mysteries of God. So where are they today? Where are the mysteries of God? They're right in this King James Bible, but they don't always explain what they are to us anyway. Look at verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Okay, so hang on to these mysteries. That's what he's talking about, being faithful, the context of these mysteries. Let's not drop them. Let's not try to explain them away and say they're not there anymore. He says, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. The Lord has taken care of my sins. The Lord has taken care of sin. The Lord has taken care of my soul. The Lord has shown me this Bible. He expects me to, or he's asking me to change my life daily. And I'm going to have a judgment. I'm going to be facing him face to face. I'm going to have my works judged, not my sins. I don't need to worry about what somebody else thinks, other than being a bad testimony, etc., etc. This is what Paul is saying. I've got some mysteries to be a steward of, and if you don't like them, you don't like them. I'm going to be a steward of them. I'm going to tell you about them. And if you're going to judge me over this stuff, then he says, okay, fine. I don't even judge myself. God will. That's what he's saying here. And those mysteries are still available to this day. There they are, right here. Let's look at some of these things here this morning and tonight. Let's look at Romans chapter 11, verse 25. So, if these mysteries are in this King James Bible, I don't care what other people say about this King James Bible. It bothers me. They're missing out on what the Bible says. They're missing out that there's not another Bible in this world that tells us to rightly divide this Bible. There's not another Bible that tells us that. Well, let's go to a Bible that doesn't tell us that then. Well, okay, if you want to do that, but this was the first one, and this is the one that's preserved, inspired, perfect, the whole deal. Why could something that's been perfect, not meaning errorless, but it is errorless, be completed? Why do we need another one? And they all compare to this thing. I'm going to stick with this thing. And they can say what they want about me, but this is, I'm going to stand on this Bible. Same thing with Paul. Paul stood on what he was taught. Now, Romans 11:25, this is a quick one. You know this one. This is one that we are not to be ignorant of. Romans 11:25, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, that blindness in part has happened to Israel." There it is. Now, read the whole verse. "I would that ye should not be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits." If we forget about the Jews, if we forget about why the Jews are in the situation they're in, if we forget about the fact that the tribulation is coming, and we think that everything is just about me, or about us Christians, or about us Gentiles, then we become very conceited. That's what it says. And what is going on in Christianity today? Hugely conceited. Hugely. Why? Because they forgot, how come we haven't? And that's because the Jews fell. They didn't believe it. If they'd have gone into this thing, we'd still be dogs at the doghouse getting crumbs off the table, which if you're getting crumbs off the table, at least you're being fed. But I'm really kind of glad that isn't the case for us. I've really learned personally this Bible. I know where I'm at today personally because of this Bible. I know the issues I have and the difficulties people have, and I know the preaching and the things I'm learning. I'm seeing things fixed. It's because of this Bible. And I wouldn't have this if the Jews hadn't have done what they did. We can't forget that. Why not? Because He tells us not to forget that, or we will become very conceited. And then He says that blindness in part has happened to Israel. In part, again, blindness. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. When the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, we're gone, and He's back to the Jews. Now, if we go to Ephesians chapter 2, it seems like, I guess I wasn't listening in my years of being preached out of this Bible, but Ephesians chapter 2 tells me something about the Jews that, to me, it's like most people don't recognize. Well, of course not. It's in Ephesians. Ephesians was written by Paul. And there's no guilt and slapping and fear in Ephesians. So we look at Ephesians chapter 2 and we learn something about the Jews and us. He says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, you know, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." That's the Jews calling us uncircumcised. "That at that time we were without Christ." We'll go along with that. "Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel." And we talk about this, but we won't park long on this thing. But when somebody told you you were lost, to us that meant we're going to hell when we die. Lake of fire, eternity, that's what we think of. Nobody ever told me that I was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. Nobody told me that. Hey, did you know that you were an alien from the commonwealth of Israel? What? I'm supposed to be afraid of that? Well, it says there, "and strangers from the covenants of promise." Well, what did He promise Israel? I don't know. And He says, "having no hope and without God." Okay, now that scares me. Because without God, they teach me I'm going to go to hell, etc., etc. So there's where our salvation comes. But we also need to realize that we are aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We're not part of Israel. And Israel's God's people. And if Israel hadn't fallen like they did, we wouldn't have what we have. Okay, that's a good thing. But He's not done with His Jews. You know there's huge numbers that believe that God is done with the Jews. He's done with them. He's done. They had their chance, Old Testament, whoop, they're done with it, and they need to be saved. And that's bottom line. Well, they do need to be saved, but He's not done with them. We keep reading. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace." "For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace." If you don't recognize this, this is when He puts the Jews and the Gentiles together. Really? Yes, this is what takes place in the long run here. 16, I'll show you why. "And that He might reconcile both unto God, Jews, Gentile." Are you sure that's what they're talking about? Not just Jesus and Gentiles here? Sure, this is not about us. "For to make in Himself, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." And Jews hated Gentiles. I mean, there's a huge wall between them, as He calls it up in verse 14. Now listen here. "And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh." We've got Gentiles and Jews. For through him we both, Gentiles and Jews, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, which we were, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles, that's the Old Testament, that's Jews, and prophets, that's Old Testament and Gospels, Jews. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. There's a huge lack of knowledge or understanding or awareness of the Gentile and the Jew today. God is not done with the Jews. A Jew needs to be saved like anybody else, no doubt about that. The Scriptures are plain about that. I've heard people wonder about that. I used to for a little bit. But when he's done with the Gentile nation, he'll take those that are his out, and then in this whole thing, he's putting us all together. It's a marvelous thing. Okay, so there's a mystery, but that's a mystery we're supposed to be aware of. What's the mystery about it? It's just, I don't understand it. Other than there's the fact. He's done with the Jews for now, and he's going to go to the Gentiles. And maybe the mystery of the whole thing is the fact that nobody knows about it. But there it is. See, here we have a Bible that has the mysteries in there. They're in here. We can read about them. And this particular one, we don't have to be ignorant about that one. Let's look at Ephesians, go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Let me show you the two mysteries that Paul did reveal. One of them I know we know. We talk about it all the time here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now, we've never talked about that one, have we? Now, I'll get right to it. We're getting to where he says in Ephesians chapter 3, being fellow heirs of the same body, etc. That's the mystery we're talking about here. Okay, we know this. We're aware of this. And we'll get to those in a couple of minutes. But I noticed last couple of days that this whole little series in Ephesians is started off with the mystery of his will. That would be God's will. That's what he wants. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which hath purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. That takes us up to our good salvation verse. But you see what he's saying there? It was his will that in the fullness of times, when this thing is all done, that we're all going to be together in one. See, now that's a unity. And that is a unity that the world is trying to come up with today. And they're trying to come up with unity of the world without Christ. Without God. So, the devil takes the truth and tries to instigate it down here. So he's worshipped, which is what he says he was going to do. Right? He's going to be the Most High. So in order for the devil, Satan, Lucifer, to have that worship, he knows that God's plan is good. He's going to take the Jews and the Gentiles, put us all together into one, and be what he would have us all be with him. And yet, you got the devil doing the same attempt down here. And when he finally gets this place all worked out together really well, then the devil himself is going to come and he's going to get to worship. I mean, it's there. It's the only place you get is right here. You won't get that in any other Bible. So, there's the mystery of his will. What's the mystery of his will? That he puts everybody together. Now, why would he separate them in the first place if he wants everybody to be together? Got the Jew and the Gentile. You got Abram, and then you got the other Gentiles of the conscience. And Abram, these guys, Moses, had to have the law. Well, God had to establish the law to show that their sin down here. He's going to do it with his people. His people had a chance. Are you following this? This is exciting stuff. His people had the chance to be his people. In order to be his people, they had to follow the law. God gives them the law. They couldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. He finally comes down himself. walks the law, fulfills the law. They kill him, which is what they've always wanted to do anyway. And then he goes up. He says, listen, Peter, tell these guys I'll come back. I'll be their Messiah. Another shot, another opportunity. Peter and John goes out and they try to do these things. Stephen gets out there and preaches, and they kill him. And God and Jesus Christ go to Paul. Okay, well, I'm going off to the Gentiles, which is what he was going to have his Jews do. He was still going to go to the Gentiles, but not in the Gospels. Why people follow the teachings in the Gospel is beyond me, other than they're blind and they don't want to. And we learn from Paul this marvelous stuff about the risen Savior, and we also learn that we should do things that please God. That's the thing that still is going to hurt us. Because I'm not going to give up on that thing. I'll preach to myself, I'll preach to you. That's truth. That truth is going to probably whittle this church down to who knows. What about increase? That's his problem. That's his problem. Is there going to be increase during the days of apostasy? No. Are you going to go out of your way to hurt everybody? No. I just got to say with this Bible, you can read this thing, don't get mad at me, kind of a deal. Well, just don't do it in church. Oh, stop it. That's what you pay me to do. Pay me more, I'll preach less. How's that? Is that a deal? Hey, you just be happy you're paid. I am. I don't know about that in the future. I'm happy with that. Marvelous. This is his will. This is his plan from the start. To put everybody together. And the old devil, the guy that he is, the subtle little snake that he is, he's going to try to put that unity down here for him to get the worship. And I think they're about to put somebody in the office of the most free country in the world to do some worldly global stuff. And what are we going to stop this? No, but we need to be aware of what's going on. We need to stock up on sugar and chocolate. So when this thing falls apart, we can go down into the basement and just sit there and just have a sweet old time. Because you're not going to have gas. We're going to have to get permission to go into Idaho. You know what's going on. Those little guns we have, they're all going to have orange little barrels on the end that says that they're toys. Oh, don't get sorrowful. I'm not sorrowful. I'm irritated. What it is. Okay. So there's the will of his, the mission of his will. We've never talked about that one. I'll tell you, there's not a sermon that doesn't go by that I don't learn something. I hope you're doing the same thing. What are we doing about it? Well, none of my business. So I've been told. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. This mystery of his will, by reading that verse 13 about trusting in Christ, verse 3, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. There we go. As I wrote afore in a few words. See that, as I wrote afore in a few words? I'll be honest with you this morning, not to ever lie to you anyway, but for years I've read that little burp right there, as I wrote afore in a few words. And I never knew where he did that. Now, some of you probably already knew this. Don't tell me. I don't want to know that. I was always wondering, where did he ever talk about this before? You ever talked about it before? What I just read. It was just like right there. God says, boy, you are a musician. I've been trying to show you this for years. The mystery that he's showing Paul is his will is to bring everybody together. Why is that? Because in verse 6, that's where it takes place. But he says in verse 4, now hear this, in verse 4, whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. There's another mystery. What's the mystery of Christ? What do you think? The risen Savior. That's Christ. And what's Paul all about? Telling people about the risen Savior, the Christ. Not Jesus, but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the Lord. The Lord Jesus, the Lord Christ. Whatever. And he says, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, is it a mystery? It is if you don't have a King James Bible and you don't rightly divide with Paul, you'll be stuck learning about Jesus. And don't get me wrong on that thing. Don't take that wrong and wrong. You're going into the Gospels to study Jesus. You're studying the earthly Jesus who hadn't died and risen yet and the teachings to the Jews, which is all Old Testament teachings they had to follow. Paul is going to explain to us the knowledge he has in the mystery of Christ. There's another verse to show people. If they'll let you. Look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Paul's concern was, without praying also for us, Paul wanted people to pray for him that God would open unto them, unto us, a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Paul, what do you pray for? Okay, people say, I don't know what to pray for if I don't have to have a prayer meeting, there's no power in prayer and stuff like that. No, you pray all the time for things, with all things, without ceasing, he says. But Paul was asking for prayer from these people that I would have an opportunity to tell somebody about the mystery of Christ. What's the mystery of Christ? The risen Savior. I'll say it again. I don't think the devil's concerned at all about these churches preaching Jesus out of the Gospels. It doesn't bother him at all. He doesn't care if those churches are growing. I believe, according to the Scriptures, that they have another Jesus. And that another Jesus isn't the Christ. And when the devil shows up, they will worship the devil. Why would they worship the devil? Because he's going to come as Christ. And they're all learning about Jesus, not the Christ. This is serious stuff. I wish we could just... I know this is going to sound fleshy and all this kind of... It seems like this takes money. This is not a money sermon. But don't you want to tell people? Don't you want them to somehow see this? Haven't we tried? Is the increase going to be there? Doesn't seem like it, does it? I mean, we've got people that are no longer here anymore. Why is that? Because of truth. I had somebody tell me, I can't keep coming anymore because I'm tired of hearing. You're right. But I just don't want to hear it anymore. That's what truth will do. It'll do that to all of us eventually. I could quit because of truth. You could quit. Anybody. Your kids. The little ones. Because the truth to them is they can't do some of these things that they want to do. They could run out. They could quit before we do. They want to wear something, you don't get it for them. They can quit over that thing. They can quit. They have to still come. They can't. I'm not going to church today, Mommy. That doesn't work, but they can quit listening. They quit believing. And most of them have. Look at what the rightly dividing Paul churches are doing. They're throwing out the standards because they got grace. You may not know that. Get in there and type in grace churches, and you'll see what. Listen to their website. You'll see it. Seen them. And look at the pictures of their activities. That's not right. Where's your grace? Well, grace is there, but I don't want my kids to see that and learn that they can dress that way. Remember, all things are lawful, but what? Not expedient. So yeah, you can go ahead and dress like that, but you know what? That's still not right. I don't want my kids to get that idea. We can watch this, but it's a law to do that, but you know, I guarantee you that stuff's going to cause our children to stumble. It's going to put something in there. Oh, it is not. Yes, it is. Pornography, pictures are going into our children's heads if you just get a Coke out of a Coke machine. We've been over that. Well, don't get a Coke. Don't go to the Coke machine. Okay, so we can't get away from it. Are we going to feed it to them then? Let's try. And tell them about it. Don't show them. Right here. See that picture right here? This is why I don't want you to look at this. That's not what I'm talking about. You know these guys, these Christian movie people that have seen all the movies to tell you what's wrong with them? There's something wrong with that. You know? We're supposed to know without looking, you know. I knew when I rode my bike up to the dump in here in South Dakota that I was going to the dump. I didn't have to go there to know I was going to be at the dump. I could tell. Anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, another really good verse. I don't think I've ever talked much about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me tell you something else that's run through my mind here lately. I've been here long enough to be family, I guess. In the last couple of weeks, I've been thinking, what is there to do in a sermon anymore? Not that I know it all, not that we've preached it all, but I think to myself, listen, we've been through the Old Testament. We're just about done with the gospel. We've been through Acts 1 through 8. We've been through Hebrews to Jude. Revelation we've been through kind of quickly because this came so much over our head and it's sealed anyway. This is some really good. We've been through that. We've been through Paul's things. We can rightly divide Paul, that we know what's before the King James Bible, 1 Corinthians 13:10. We know that Paul's got Margot's doctrine. We've read the doctrine, and it's just a small portion of your Bible anyway, so everybody's probably read it at least once. And then we tried to do the new things in Timothy and Titus. They've all read it. Lord, what is there to talk about anymore? I mean, I get that way sometimes. What? Okay, let's talk about the mysteries, and I'll do kind of a generic thing, and they won't get mad at me, and maybe word get out that maybe he's softening up or something. I don't know. And then I get into this thing about mysteries, and I learn this thing about the mystery of his will. That's exciting. Then I learn about this verse we're going to talk about here in a couple minutes. And I look at some other things, and God says, you musician, you haven't even begun. I'm not talking about what we know. I'm talking about what we've heard and what we've read. We've been through this stuff. You've read some things on your own. And it takes back to Wednesday night. I didn't really even get my point clear Wednesday night as I listened to it. It was like, why are things going the way they are? Because the devil, the god of this world, has people in his snare at his will. They wouldn't, with any kind of a brain at all, be voting for this guy. And any kind of a brain at all, they wouldn't be voting for the other one either. If America had any kind of a brain at all, they wouldn't have even made it to the election. There's so many other people. Well, maybe there aren't that many other people. But what's happening? Well, it's happening to us too. We still go on and do what we do. We still have going on. Remember I said a couple weeks ago that the pattern of this church is when some truth comes along and God tries to fit somebody into a specific place, they leave. And you can blame the preacher, and you can blame circumstances, you can blame events. You can take your sides, A or B, who's telling the truth. Maybe it's a little bit of both. Either way, it destroys. What is there to talk about anymore, God? And he says, just be quiet, open your Bible, get your concordance, type in the word mystery, and I'll show you something. Do you see what I'm saying to you this morning? We're really coming to some hard times, and pretty soon, some of these things aren't going to be as important as what's going on. We've just lost another big hit. Some of the issues we have in our lives are going to suddenly take a back seat to something really serious. If you're still here to hear the truth about what it is. We still need to act on the truth. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Listen, do you know that what we're learning as a Christian is going to become unlawful? Not to God, but to the country. Are we ready for any of this? Well, we're old enough to die, maybe. What about our kids? How are we preparing our kids for this kind of stuff? Again, your girls for a man and the men for a lady. What are we doing? I guess we'll just be knocked in the back of the head and we'll probably just say, well, I guess it's too late. Okay, back on track here. Sorry, 1 Corinthians 4:17. So much for my softness, I guess. Oh, well, 1 Corinthians 4:17. My statement is this. The gospel of the risen Jesus Christ, the risen Christ that Paul preaches, should not be a mystery today. Because Paul is there to teach it, right? He said earlier, we may understand his knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And he wants to speak the mystery of Christ. We see in this verse, chapter 4, verse 17, for this cause, boy, I miss Sue, is that right? For this cause, okay. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, we've talked about that verse before. But that tells me that the mystery of Christ is to be taught. And it is to be explained. And Paul is the one who will explain it. So, this King James Bible, this is one of the mysteries that we're to be a steward of course. But this is one of the mysteries we can explain. And it's supposed to be taught in every church. And it's not being taught in every church. So what particular is that mystery? We'll look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5. Yours is probably already marked for that particular verse. I would think it would be by now, Ephesians chapter 3. What do you tell someone when they first get saved what to read? I'd probably suggest Ephesians anymore. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5. which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, talking about the mystery of Christ up there, as it is now revealed unto his apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the, so here's the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by their gospel. That's the risen Savior, that's the risen Christ, where Paul says he's made the minister. So there's what he's talking about. The mystery of God's will is that the mystery of Christ be preached, and that's the risen Savior. And he will bring Jew and Gentile together with God. And the devil's down here making a copy of that thing, and people are following him because it involves the flesh. Now, we look at, we just read in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5, it says there that in other ages was not made known unto the Son. They didn't know about this. Look at Romans 16:25. Romans 16:25. This is a mystery that was not explained before Paul. Why do people not want... Why do we say you ought to go to Paul? Because Paul's the only one that explains the mystery of the risen Christ. Romans 11:25. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, that's the risen Savior there, which was kept secret since the world began. And talk about keeping a secret. I can't keep secrets hardly at all. And he had to go through what he went through and not drop a clue. Isn't that amazing? Put yourself on the cross. Put yourself being tortured. And you know how they tell you to tell me something. Tell me that the country, tell me that America is a bad country. Now, you know what I'm going to say eventually? Okay, America's a bad country. Please turn off, take the wrench off my fingers or something. I'm not good with torture. I know I was born in this generation because I would not have made it being tied to a stake, although it wasn't under your power anyway, it was under God's power, but still, I'm not good with torture. But Christ, who was being tortured, knew what was coming, knew he was going to have to go to Paul because of Peter, and he knew all this stuff. And yet he didn't drop a clue. Was hid in God. Isn't that amazing? Ephesians says this, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Colossians says, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but is now is made manifest to his saints. Now God's people are hearing about it, and they didn't like it. Isn't that amazing? Now, Colossians chapter 1. This mystery of the risen Christ and about how we took care of the law. Wow. Better go back to water. That's pretty sparky for the apple cider. I hope that's not a close-up up there. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. What is so good about this mystery? Well, it says here, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I remember teaching this and preaching this, that Christ in me is a mystery. Well, yes, it is, because how does Christ be in me? I don't know. How can he be in you and be in me? We've learned that is by faith, and it's the faith that keeps him in us, et cetera, his faith. But I see more to this now, because he's talking about the riches of the glory of this mystery. What's that mystery? The risen Christ teaching us through Paul about how we will be one with God. And there's riches to this thing. But see, we've learned that Paul has taught us that the riches in this day and age are spiritual blessings. And we are blessed physically. And look at where our physical blessings are taking us. Look at the frustrations we're having. Is it because we've lost any spiritual promises or spiritual blessings? We haven't lost a single thing that the risen Christ has taught to us. Our frustrations and unhappiness and anger is because our physical life is challenged. We have things. We don't want to lose these things. Something that makes somebody mad is because it's about their physical life. It's not their spiritual blessings. It's not their spiritual life that everybody's mad about. Instead, I preach that, ladies, you're not supposed to work. That blasphemes the Word of God. Men, you're supposed to da-da-da-da. Aged women, you're supposed to, for the younger ones. That's physical stuff. God would have us do physical things correctly. Of course, that pleases Him. That's the walk. And our walk will be judged by the judgment in the judgment seat of Christ by Paul's gospel, which would be Timothy and Titus, as well as the rest. But we need to realize that as this country is going where it's going, and all of a sudden these riches are being challenged, we're supposed to be able to say, oh well. Now, Marilyn and I didn't lose anything in this crash. Didn't lose a dollar. Because we had none out there to lose. Can you imagine losing your entire lifetime retirement? Or your job? And you just bought 16 RVs and people are losing their physical riches. And they're going crazy. And this guy is preaching, he's campaigning physical blessings. You won't have to pay for your mortgage anymore. Apparently he said that to somebody, got that out of there. The government will do this for you. Yes, the government, which will be a global government, which will be united with a global religion, which will be based on Jesus somehow. The Islamics seem to have a problem with this, but apparently they're going to lose here eventually, or else, however that's going to work out. Islam is still just a form of Catholicism, so it's going to come out of the Pope eventually anyway. That's where it's headed. We just can't get shook up because our riches are not being touched. Just not being touched. So what is it that we're doing for our children? Are we piling on more physical blessings, physical riches? Or are we somehow, whether they want to hear it or not, trying to sit down and show them the riches of the glory of this mystery, of what it's like, what Paul teaches us to learn about this mystery that is explained to us, that we're going to be one with God, with the Jews as well. The unity is going to be there, and the blessings behind that are just beyond. I mean, there's no law right now to deal with that. And what do we do as Christians? I think that we take advantage of the fact that there is no law to say that what we're doing is wrong. It's still wrong, but it's not being accounted as such. It's still not the way we should live. And we're all guilty. We're all going to have a specific judgment seat situation. It's going to be the way it is. But I'm saying our happiness, even here, is not based on the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. We're basing our happiness here on our physical blessings still. And I think that, look, here's what I think. In the next couple of weeks or months or 1,000 days, as this particular man says, we may see who is really serious about truth. See who's still here. Because we're going to really be challenged. And we have to keep our hands on the riches of the glory of this mystery. This is fantastic stuff. Can we lose it all and still have a joy because of what Christ has done for us? I think we're all going to be put to the test. Now, one more thing. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Let me show you one more exciting thing about this Bible regarding all this mystery of Christ, which should not be an unexplainable mystery to us. We have been shown this mystery. When you talk to somebody else about Paul and the risen Savior, you know why we have such a hard time? It's a mystery to them. They've never heard this before. No pastors, there are pastors preaching this, but again, they're getting away from the basic preaching because they want to have, again, numbers and et cetera, which we do, but, you know. And for me, verse 19, Ephesians 6, verse 9, we read this a minute ago. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Right? So Paul is going to be the one to explain the mystery of the gospel, which is mystery of Christ, which is what we're talking about here, God's words, okay? Look at verse 20. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's good. Paul's going to, in Paul's day, God gave him this. The Lord gave him this in those face-to-face meetings. And he says, I'm going to tell people what Christ has told me. What about us today? Here's another example of rightly dividing the Bible beyond Paul. Read the next verse. Are we done with the verse yet? Does that finish that verse? So this, but that ye also, is that verse 19? Okay, 19? Is that 18? 18. 21, okay, because I'm already mixed up. Oh yeah, not 21. But that ye also may know my affairs. What is that? His work, his doings, his affairs. What he does. Remember what Paul says in Philippians 4:9? Things that I do, we should do as well. Okay. That ye may also know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, or Tychicus, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. What? This guy is going to tell us, this guy is going to also tell people about Paul's daily affairs, his walk. Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose. Really. That ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Isn't that amazing? Who's this guy? You ever heard of this guy? I know we talked about it before. You might have him in your Bible. What am I looking for here now? Yes. Look at some of you might have it in your Bible, you might not. An itty-bitty, teeny, little bitty font, little print in the very bottom of the last chapter, last verse. So here's the guy that wrote down what Paul's affairs were and Paul's teachings, etc., etc. Okay? So what do we have today? We have what Tychicus wrote down from Paul's life. Why is that such a big deal? We don't have Paul to talk to people today. We don't have Jesus Christ down here. We know that. Send us the Comforter. Well, we don't have Paul either. What do we have? We have what Paul told this guy to write down, and his affairs of his life, not just his doctrine, but his affairs, and we have that today. Why? Well, he says, so we can know what it is that Paul did, and that we can be comforted. Remember the whole thing in Sunday school this morning started off with the fact that I'm giving you the Comforter so that you're not offended. And we end it this morning, which is totally unplanned. I like when these things happen. That we see at the end here how we can be comforted. And that's by learning about the mystery of Christ, mystery of the risen Christ, the mystery of God's will. It's going to be taught to us through Paul. And it was written down to us by Tychicus, whatever. And we have it right here. Right here. In this Bible. This is what's going to get us through until the rapture. Or until we die. Depending upon what comes first. And when the dying time comes, somebody come and read this to me if I'm the second to go. I may not want to hear it because pain is pain. I may be loony as a goonie with my medicines and stuff. But read it anyway. This is where we're supposed to get our comfort. This is what's supposed to explain to us what's going on in this world. The whole world is being suckered into the Antichrist, and everybody's going to be worshiping his image. It's all being set up. It's as plain as day, but they're not going to see it because they're blinded, they're befuddled, they're begooned, whatever those words were. This is what's going on. Bewitched, becharmed, hoodwinked, cheated, lied to, enamored, flattered, fooled, entertained, diverted, distracted, taken in, misled, deceived, duped, bamboozled. They're being taken for a ride, and they're befooled, but we don't have to be. The only reason we don't have to be is because of this Bible. Right there, rightly divided. I guess people would rather be bamboozled. And some of them aren't here because they've been bamboozled. Got distracted away from what's really serious, and that's truth.